Hello and welcome to Technofunda Investing Podcast, yet another episode number 22. And this time, as usual, we have a special guest with us whose name is Pankaj Singhal. And he's famously known on Twitter with the handle Anybody Can Fly. So he's an avid investor, a lifelong learner, a traveler, and he has been into IT sector for a long period of time. And now here he is achieving his financial freedom and with us to inspire in your investing journey. So this podcast is especially for all the listeners, investors, potential investors, to guide them how they can be better in terms of their investing journey. If they have not started, how they can get started and make the most of their future journey. So Pankaj bhai, it's honor and pleasure again to have you here. We had, I think, a third episode on our channel where you were there and guided all the investors, and great to have you here back. So let us know what is your journey in your words.
Now, first of all, thank you so much, Vivek, for getting connected and for calling me again. For me, stock market has always been a passion. So I love to talk on and on regarding stock market. So this is a good platform. And thank you again so much for getting me here. So it has been a wonderful investing journey for me so far. So I'll start maybe from very long back, from the point where I actually started trying to understand what stock market is all about. And that is how I can tell you, maybe it may get a little longer, but that is how my journey has happened over years in stock market.
Awesome. So, and that's perfectly fine. The longer, the better, because we want to go deep dive into your journey. So please go on. Yeah.
Sure. Thank you so much. So my investing journey basically started way long back in the year 1992. So if you remember, Harshad Mehta used to be very popular during those days. And that was the time when I actually saw a real euphoria related to stock market. I still remember one common dialogue people used to say: buy stocks today, tomorrow there will not be anything that you will get. It was this level of euphoria that you can imagine. And in fact, even though stock market is so much high these days, but I am yet to hear this kind of euphoria. So almost 30 years back, 30 years back, this was the level of euphoria. And this euphoria triggered a kind of curiosity in me that what exactly is this all about? Because at that time, I was just 16 years old, I was in school. So that triggered a curiosity in me. That curiosity became a gradual learning. Learning became hobby over years, and hobby literally turned into a passion. As of today, I can speak on and on regarding stock market whenever I get an opportunity. So how it all started, I started learning it from Economic Times newspaper. I remember there was a CNBC business channel that became my first input point. And at that time, literally no amount of information was available. For me, the only input material was newspapers, magazines, and that's it, actually. Literally, that's it. So as time passed by, I started going to a nearby stockbroker, and I have a habit of observation. I keep observing people. So when I used to visit my stockbroker, I started seeing and observing what kind of people are coming there, how people are behaving right at his office, what kind of buy sell orders they are doing, what kind of actions they are performing in terms of what kind of things they are talking about. So I just started visiting that stockbroker. Even if I was not doing anything in terms of transacting, but I was just visiting to learn by observation. And that definitely helped me as a first step, in addition to going through newspapers and magazines. And over here, so at that time, I never used to have money, to be honest, because I was in school. But as I learned, as I spent more and more time, just for my own experience perspective, I started giving suggestions to the broker that this is what I am trying to find out. If you want, you can just buy. So since I was going for some time to the broker, he actually started tracking my names, and he said that, trust me, your names are doing way better than anything else. So that gave me confidence. I kept learning year and year. Time kept passing by. And over time, I got busy with my education, with my job. I kept reading and observing about the stock market as and when I could find any time. So even in office, I started giving suggestions to my colleagues. And literally, it helped people. So all these times, I used to invest very, very small amounts. So because I never used to have so much time to spend, so much money to spend at that time. But over years, there came a time until one fine day when I started to look forward regarding pursuing my hobby, pursuing my passion, because it was the time around early 2013, maybe, yeah, when I started feeling the work pressure. I was working with Accenture, and that was where I started feeling the work pressure on my health. And that is where I started thinking actively how to pursue my own hobby, on own passion. So what I did at that time, I took a risk of putting in my entire savings at that time. Definitely, it was a big risk. But since I was in good job, I took that risk that in case something goes wrong, my job is anyway there. So I took that risk. I allocated everything over 1 to 3 months. And as I reviewed my performance over next subsequent 18 to 24 months, I actually realized that this is what is my destination. This is what is going to be my new journey. And I right away took a very bold decision of leaving my good job right away. And I started completely on the journey of stock market as a full-time investor, you can say.
Awesome.
So, and as I left my job, I'm sorry. As I left my job for first few months, I actually felt bad that have I took a right decision, because my daily routine was changing very significantly.
Yes.
So, but gradually I started reading more and more. I started going to the AGMs. I started going to the conferences. And gradually, yes, I built my routine in my investing lifestyle. So as of now, if I look at myself, I am definitely very happy that I took that bold and tough decision to move on from my job. That choice, that action changed my life since then completely.
Super. Yes. So just on this lines, you know, so a lot of time, you know, as you rightly said, that there was a trigger and probably you were feeling burnt out and probably some health related concerns you had, and you took that bold step, and thankfully you had that background as a school going kid. Also, you were seeing the market and you had that exposure with broker and all those things. For all the listeners, say for example, who are still young, maybe 25, 30 years, 35 years, they are not yet feeling that burnt out feeling, or they are not feeling that, you know, they are not getting time for themselves and all that, but they are happy in job and, you know, they are just partying and putting all the savings outside. What would you recommend to do this more systematically? Like if they don't want a shock basically, and then transition to this full-time investing life in a smooth way, what they should do?
So to be honest, I never suggest to anyone to go into full-time investing until and unless it is going to be their bread and butter, or sorry, it is going to be their real full-time profession or something where you are just seeing that this can be a good way to make money. Let me make it full-time profession. No, because once you are experienced and once you have a very good understanding how stock markets behave, how businesses behave, how fundamentals work, you do not really need to spend so much time to on a day-to-day basis to be a full-time investor. I took this decision to based on my personal and health needs. You know, even now I feel sometimes that yes, Accenture. I was working with Accenture. That corporate world is a very good place to spend your lot of time. That level of people, that level of professionals. So I really don't suggest people to go into full-time job, but my suggestion based on your question would be every young person should really focus on their core skill. whatever is their core skill. So my core skill at that time, maybe stock market when I took this decision. So, but that was based on 20 years of experience at that time. So focus, new people should definitely focus on your core skill, whether be in job, be in business, or be in stock market. See what is their, what is the thing that they can exploit completely, where they can really love to do as much hard work. I have spent late nights n number of times. So more hard work they do in their core skill, I think that is where they should they should try to look forward and never run into shortcuts.
So basically they need to build the corpus side by side in a passive way and you know maximize their investing capital which they can earn from their core skill. Basically you earn the core skill capital, deploy it passively into investing and start compounding. So once you build a system that doesn't need a time, that is what I think is the crux, what you are trying to say, if I'm correctly summarizing.
No, you got it absolutely right. So within that, there can be two things. That one is learn yourself side by side, how to invest, where to invest. Other thing is if you really not able to find time, get connected with the right person who can help you on that path. In addition to where you are working or where you are doing business. So get connected with the right person. And in addition, whatever you are earning from your job, from your business, do try to save as much as possible during the early days so that you build your corpus in investment very nicely. And over time, you can be on a very good path towards financial freedom, towards peace, towards all kind of freedom in every aspect. Do not get into shortcuts. Do not mix personal and professional. Do not mix long-term and short-term. Focus with a clear objective, with clear goals.
Yes. I can remember Tony Robbins' quote where he says, you know, I'm financially free and I work because I choose to, not because I have to. I think that financial freedom gives that choice. Even if you are working in a corporate, you can continue doing it, but you still have a choice. If you want to switch, you can switch. If you want to take a 6 months break, sabbatical, you can do that. And still your you know, wheel is going on. That is like ultimate feeling, I think.
No, so true quote at this time of discussion that yes, I do what I love and I do just because I like to do.
Yes,
that's it. Just to stay productively busy. So even if I look at myself, and there is no need to look at so many results, so much of things, but I just want to stay productively busy in whatever I love to do.
Yes. And it doesn't still feel like work, basically. It still is like our passion, right? So that is what it gives you the choice. Now, on your Twitter handle, I can see the last part of your name as Dream Big, Think Growth. Right. And as I know from what you do and how you pick stocks, you always think about growth and long-term view, how, you know, company can grow in next 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. And that is where the next question is, you know, what are the different mega trends that you see in India and globally and potentially, you know, how you think about riding these growth mega trends. And again, if you want to take any example of any companies as a case study, that's perfectly fine. Of course, our audience knows that it's not a stock recommendation and all that, but you know, what do you see as a long-term mega trends, you know, which are emerging or they're already in place?
So two things, like you asked in question, globally and India.
Yes.
So so I'll start with globally first, maybe, because that is, they are not much. So global trends that I see in terms of future, one is after COVID, especially, world is moving away from China. There is a clear China plus one factor for every country and for every company globally. So earlier, China used to be factory for the world, but now, and almost every company and almost every country, both these entities are trying to see how they can reduce their dependence on China and how they can find another market where they can build, they can serve, and they can use for their own purpose as well. So that is one very big trend that is going to be a gradual trend because it cannot have, nothing can happen overnight. Things have already started in favor of India, but it is going to be a very gradual transition. So number one can be moving away from China. And number two, global trend that I am seeing is speed of innovation in technology. It is going to pick up pace like nobody can even imagine, even nobody, literally nobody, until and unless somebody is really working into it. So speed of innovation in technology is going to be one big thing that can keep coming in our life every now and then. With every new iPhone, with every new laptop, with every new electronic device, there will be new technological processes that we will encounter, that we will see. There will be new gaming technologies that is going to serve the world. There will be new kind of OTT platforms over time. Multiple things. It's going to be a very different level of innovation and technology that we will see in future. And that innovation and technology will be in form of electric vehicle as well, because ultimately electric vehicle is nothing but a technical device.
Mm-hmm.
If you see Tesla is nothing but all of electronic, all of technology, nothing else.
So is it right to say like everything will be tech ultimately? Even manufacturing companies will have a lot of elements of tech, like say for example fan, right now we just use a switch to switch it on. Then it will be probably Alexa which is triggering it based on the algorithm, based on the patterns of our coming to home from the office, and based on our mood it will detect with the sensor, and then the fan speed will increase or decrease. Is it what we are, you know, thinking?
Yeah, definitely. And in fact, you never know, we see wireless fans all around.
Yes, okay.
Yeah. Remote control.
Based on the direction, the fan can adjust its position.
Exactly. So it is just moving along with you. You never know.
Awesome.
So yeah, technology is going to be a part of our day-to-day life more than ever. In fact, the way I am calling since last few years, technology is the new consumption.
Mm.
We are just consuming everything through mobile, through laptop, and this is nothing but where we are spending time. That is nothing more, but actually it's a consumption thing.
Exactly. So, like every one of us, if we calculate the number of hours we spend on all these devices, I think more than 50% of the time when we are awake probably, you know, gets into either OTT platform or mobile or laptop or any kind of these devices, right? Directly or indirectly, actually.
Yeah, exactly. So this is second thing, speed of innovation and technology that we may see as a global trend picking up speed. And next is solar energy is definitely attracting a lot of attention from many countries. It may keep happening gradually. And one last thing in global mega trends can be virtual world.
Hmm.
Virtual world through social media. Yes, through social media, actually. So virtual world will attract a lot of attention from all of us, including you and I. Because ultimately, the way we cannot ignore social media these days, similarly, virtual world will become one another thing that we need to see how it works, how we will be part of it, how if others are doing, how we can be connected to them through based on virtual. So you must have heard Facebook has recently changed to Metaverse name, and they are doing so many things to bring the people virtually together. So yeah, this is one thing. I don't know how it is going to really help or help our day-to-day life. I really don't know, can't say anything at the moment, but this is something that is going to attract good time, where people will spend good time in future. For sure. Last but not the least, last point is crypto. So crypto is a global mega trend. I really still do not understand 100% the logic behind it, because it's a very, very technical thing. I do know something, but not completely. It's a more speculative thing, less fundamental thing. But as things progress, as time passes by, as technology evolves more in favor of crypto, we will see the real crypto usage or something. It's just a time to come.
So I also don't understand too much deeper into crypto, but what my one of the friend who is good in understanding all this trend, he told me is it is more of a decentralization theme. So if we see like media got decentralized over a period of time, right? Earlier there was newspaper, then we had TV, which was still national TV, then a lot of other channels came in, then we could see like BBC and Discovery and all those global channels also. And now it is internet where we have access to all the kind of media on the tap of our mobile or laptop. Same way, you know, if you see education, initially, it was like restricted to the primary school or the school where we are studying, the subjects which are prescribed by that state government or national government, if you are in a CBSE, ICSE kind of structure. And then slowly, you know, that got international kind of standard. And now, you know, the educational is getting decentralized. Like you can learn Mandarin, you just download an app, you start learning from an e-learning course and you can do it. I think what people are saying who understand this part on crypto is it is more like a decentralized currency and more like a replacement of gold, where, say, for example, a country like Argentina is defaulting and somebody who is big entrepreneur in Argentina and they don't believe in their own currency and they don't have any other resort, they can probably park their money into Bitcoin and they are basically hedged from any kind of, you know, countrywide fluctuations which are happening. Same way, you know, it can also put money everywhere in the world. Like say you are part of Argentina and you want to invest into Argentina stock market, but because the country collapsed, like Lebanon recently happened, right? So the entire country collapsed and you cannot invest in your country stock market. And because of your FX is also degraded, you cannot even put your money outside your country and invest elsewhere. But if you have Bitcoin, you can, you know, put in US stocks and Indian stocks anywhere across, you know, that decentralization of transaction can happen. So probably, you know, I think that is the trend moving forward. Probably the time will tell, but, you know, it's going to be really interesting.
No, that's a good thought. I also learned from you, but I'll keep reading into it and let's see where we go in terms of crypto.
Yes. Yeah. Awesome. So in terms of the Indian mega trends, it would be really interesting to know what all, you know, domestic trends you see and where India can grow in different parts of these trends.
Okay. So the good thing with India at the moment is India actually can grow in every aspect, in every sector, in every business, literally, because the way India is placed currently, they are doing all around good. Mm. One thing, but overall, but other way around, the good thing with India is we have three C's, what I keep repeating also, that capability, capacity, and consumer. So India definitely has a lot of capability in almost every business area. People have skills. They earlier were never used to get explored to that level, but now they are, and corporates are doing every bit to attract such talents. So India has capability to do all kind of work depending on the clients, depending on the individual needs. Next come is capacity. So once you have started something based on the capability, let's say you are serving 100 people, 1,000 people, 1 million people, but you want to scale it up. So India has capacity to scale it up to any level depending on, again, corporate needs, client needs, country needs. Mm-hmm. So like I can give one example right away here in terms of chemical sector. What started in 2013, 2014, Those were the years where China started shutting down its multiple chemical companies because of pollution, because of cleanup of, in terms of pollution. And that is where India took this opportunity in its favor by whatever capabilities they had. First of all, they refined those capabilities to improve their way of working in the chemical companies, one thing. After that, they expanded gradually, first of all, to the needs at that hour, to because work was transitioning out from China to India. Mm-hmm. And then they expanded further over and above their existing capacities to look into the future. Mm-hmm. So if you see over last 6, 7, 8 years, what happened is chemical companies started doing good in their own capacity as a first step. Then they expanded. Now new capacities have come up. Now that is adding to their bottom line, top line. Now further they are expanding, looking at the global mega trend.
Yes.
So capability, capacity, and third is consumer. Mm. So why consumer thing is important here is every company or every country, whosoever is choosing a third country to build their own products, they love to find such a country where there is a local consumer as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that they can build, let's say US is choosing India. So US will love to choose India if they can build, manufacture in India, they can sell in India, and they can import from, they can import their own manufactured products from India to US as well for their own personal needs.
Mm-hmm.
So because so they can manufacture in India and they can sell it locally. And right. This is a big thing, and that is where a lot of contract manufacturing companies come into the picture.
Mm-hmm.
So companies like in electronics manufacturing, chemicals contract manufacturing, pharma contract manufacturing, almost every business sector is seeing a good amount of contract manufacturing work, just because there is a local consumer as well, and there is a huge amount of global consumer as well.
Right. Right.
So India has three C's: capability, capacity, and consumer, which is helping India to grow almost every of its business thing. This is another one point. Other than this, we are having a very strong change of mindset, which is happening these days. India is moving from a mindset of saving towards spending. From a mindset of saving and waiting for something to happen so that they can use the saved money. But now, new generation wants to celebrate first, wants to spend first. Because obviously, earlier generation saved money from earlier generation is helping the current generation to not think for saving.
Yes.
This is also another point. It's not that new generation just want to spend at the cost of saving. No, because they already have saved money inheritedly.
Correct. And so, I see that trend clearly. You know, we have a lot of startup entrepreneurs who are like 20, 22 years college dropout. Sometimes after their IITs, they you know, don't take the job, lucrative job, and then they, you know, do the startup. Like in our days, it was not a luxury to do all those kind of things. We already had an education loan, so much to do for family. But now, you know, because that support system is there, even if they don't earn for 2 years, they risk a couple of these things and enjoy their life for a couple of years, still that backup is there, as you rightly said. So it's a calculated risk people are taking, and probably, you know, that is going to play out even more when the next generation comes out.
No, it is going to play out well. So change of mindset is working in favor of India, actually. That is one thing. And then evolution of stock market. So evolution of stock market, what I mean by here is, if you look at 20 years or even 10 years down the line, there would never used to be any information available to literally people like us. As of today, every information is available directly or indirectly. Directly through BSE website, through corporate websites, indirectly through social media, through all kind of people who are chasing all kind of information. So now we have over availability of information. It is just that we need to filter out the right information that we need to go through. So that is where my stock market is evolving big time. People are not coming just naive. People are not coming raw. If I tweet something or if I provide some suggestion to anybody, there are 20 good comments where people know, and they want to accordingly act, which is a very good sign. So 10 or 20 years back, we used to worry about any stock market crash or something. These days, such crash is very tough to imagine, looking at the way people are already investing based on research, based on information, based on their own knowledge. So this is where India is evolving. And other than that, yes, China plus one factor is helping India big time in almost every business. In fact, during COVID, government has utilized this opportunity to put anti-dumping duty on many businesses, many products, so that local businesses can help grow themselves very well. In fact, India government is doing so many structural changes that multiple companies have improved their balance sheets once and for forever. One very simple example is sugar sector. So if you look at sugar sector 5, 6, 7 years back, they used to be in heavy debts. they were having only one line of business. Today they have three line of businesses: sugar, ethanol, and power. And at the same time, their balance sheets are so cleaned up that they can think of expanding very nicely.
So
all these things are working in favor of India. And yeah, so I am not really specific bullish on any single business or couple of businesses. In fact, every business should do good in India from here, because we are seeing an all-round growth.
Superb.
All-round growth in terms of corporates, in terms of individuals, both.
And the government policies are also supporting and going in the right direction. And so, I think we discussed that example of FASTag also during our last conversation, that, you know, at scale, you know, because we have so much of population and that mindset, as you said, the change mindset where people are ready to accept new changes in the positive way. Like that small initiative like FASTag, it just looks like very tiny, but it plugs in so much of cash leakage. It accelerates the formalization of economy. And I think what you mentioned in terms of stock market also, I think the formalization of economy and digitalization, both are pushing that trend even faster. And with the COVID, I think a lot of AGMs are now virtual, a lot of con calls are virtual. And
you and I are talking virtual.
Yes, we are talking virtual. And even SEBI has come out with a draft where they are planning to put all the investor meetings also, which are happening on record as a digital file, where you can listen to the conversation, what happened, what was the presentation shared. I think sitting at home, you get so much of data. It's just a matter of filtering in the right way. And that is why probably we are doing this podcast also, so that we can give them filtered insights rather than looking at 15 different sources. But it's amazing. Yeah. You know, the way we are going, it's so amazing.
Yeah. And I think India has a very long way to go from here. And the good thing, based on my own experience, the only thing I expect from government is they should believe in growth. They should support businesses. They should understand the power of money that people can have. So this government is definitely trying to do. Obviously, every government has their own challenges. So based on looking at all the plus minus, I think reasonable amount of effort is happening. Yeah. So we have a long way to go. And yeah, in terms of specific businesses, so the way people's mindsets are changing, the way money is multiplying, I would say personal support services is one sector which can grow very big from here on. Premium real estate is going to grow definitely big, because the way the IPOs have come up over last year and the way people have grown wealthy from zero to literally 100 crore or 200 crore, everybody will look for good residence, good property where they can stay their good amount of life. So that is where premium real estate will attract a lot of attention. And at the same time, next last thing which can be new in terms of sector is wealth management, family offices. This will also attract a lot of attention. Ultimately, everybody will need somebody to manage their stuff.
Correct.
Yeah.
Superb. Awesome. And by the way, you know, all the listeners, if you want to go deeper into China Plus One and chemicals, I've also put out a video long time back in 2018. Just go to my YouTube channel and you can watch it. Very, very in-depth and similar kind of discussion during the initial times of that China environmental crackdown we had within Value Picker Forum. And if you're not following Value Picker, also great, again, site to, you know, learn a lot of things on investing. Now, you know, Pankaj Bhai, coming to your screening process, you mentioned earlier those days, you watched a lot of things on the ground, you were watching the stockbroker office and, you know, information was not that easily available. You were connecting the dots and trying to understand big picture. But now, as you said, the world has changed. Information is there all around. And I think all of us face that difficulty in terms of you know, separating the noise versus good information, which will help us. So there is a lot of noise around and, you know, there are so many data points. So how do you go about screening the company and what is the thought process where you crystal down to few ideas or a watch list that, okay, yes, these are 15, 20, 30, 40, whatever number of ideas you know, go deeper into your research. How do you come to that list?
So one good thing in stock market is there is no need to stick to your approach 100% at any point. You can keep refining. You can be very dynamic. You can, based on the trends, based on the situation we are into, we can be as dynamic as possible to utilize the new trends, new sectors. So that is one thing. But other than that, I believe in very, very simple way of common sense investing, the way I call it. So common sense investing is nothing, but I follow a very, very business based approach. So businesses where I see a potential of forever. Forever means if I use it now, will I use it tomorrow? Will I use it 20 years ahead in life? So such kind of businesses where at least in my own visibility, I do not see any challenge. Those businesses are the first level of businesses where I would prefer to invest into. First level of businesses. So very simple businesses that can come into the mind right away can be food, FMCG, mobile or electronics. So there can be good number of examples, but
yes,
businesses where there is a good visibility for forever. Very simple. So my approach consists of three things: business, growth, and value. So within business, can business survive? Means I do not see any challenges 2 years, 3 years, 4 years into the future. I see in my visibility, this business is going to survive for forever. So if a company is doing a business, let's say at 100 crore of top line, is this 100 crore sustainable for that business, for that company? So business survival / sustainability. And then comes, with once it sustain, once it survive, can it grow on top of it? And by that growth, I don't look into the what company is doing. As a first step, I try to understand, will I use more of it? This is my way of thinking common sense.
Awesome.
If I have one mobile, will I buy another mobile? If I have 10 mobiles in my house, will I be okay to have 20 mobiles in my house? This is how I think.
Super. It's a great mental model, you know, just to intuitively think like of the growth rather than thinking from the company's perspective. You think from the consumer's or self perspective. If I'm buying Google, will I use Google more often for more number of times in future? If answer is yes, most likely we are in the right direction.
You just have to extrapolate what you are thinking yourself. And do not look into the negatives. Do not look into, मैं ऐसा सोचता हूं तो बाकी भी ऐसा सोचते हैं. मतलब जस्ट ट्राई टू एक्सट्रापोलेट एंड दैट्स इट, नथिंग मोर देन दैट, एंड यू विल हैव वेरी गुड विजिबिलिटी, वेरी गुड थॉट प्रोसेस टू लुक इनटू द फ्यूचर. दिस इज हाउ.
ऑसम.
सो बिजनेस, ग्रोथ एंड देन वैल्यू. फाइनली कम्स ऑब्वियसली, नॉट एवरी स्टॉक इज गुड एट एनी प्राइस इन माई व्यू.
यस.
सो देयर हैज टू हैव अ वैल्यू, एंड दैट वैल्यू कैन हैव अ गुड डिबेटेबल डिस्कशन. आई वुड से I am not sure if this is here, I can explain completely in terms of how I look at the value, but at least in terms of valuations, I try to see in my own logic, if there is a value, only then that is the last parameter based on which, yes, this is the stock I am ready to invest into. If there is no value, no. Simple. Even if business is good, growth is good, but there is no value. But there can be multiple things based on which I am trying to find a value.
Super.
So for me, some stock can be expensive at 10 price earnings multiple, some stock can be cheap at 50 price earnings multiple. So yeah,
super. And just a curious question, and I think hopefully the answer is yes, but do you look at these things in the same sequence, like business, growth, and valuation?
Exactly same sequence.
Yes. So if something is like looking cheap but doesn't have growth, then you don't buy it. Something is looking cheap, but you don't think that the business model is correct, you don't buy it. Something has growth, but the business model is, you know, not that great. Longevity is not that, you don't buy it, basically, if I understand correctly.
Yeah, as a first line of companies. So if I have, let's say, 50 companies, so I will filter based on these things, and then I will strike out the remaining.
Super.
Where there is no growth, where there is no value like that. So, but if I am not able to find any single company within these three sequence, within this sequence of parameters, then if there is no growth, but there is value, I may invest.
Okay. Understood. So it's like lower rank. Basically, you give them very low priority. If at all nothing is there and you have cash available, you try to think that, okay,
because my approach is,
now. And then once I find good growth business, maybe you switch.
I'll move on. Yeah.
Super.
So my approach is very simple. Just stay invested. So I will definitely find something to stay invested.
Superb. Great. So in terms of the process after buying and screening, right? So suppose you have screened the companies and then you are fully invested. Now, what will be your process first to allocate in your existing portfolio winners? And how do you, think through getting a new business in your portfolio? So if I understand correctly, you are mostly fully invested. So suppose you want to get a new business, which you are studying, it looks interesting. Which one you will take out from the existing portfolio? What will be the thought process? And within the existing portfolio, if you want to rebalance and increase the allocation to your winners, how is the thought process that you go about? And if you want to add cash call criteria, if at all you take it, that would be great.
Okay. So two questions as a priority for besides cash thing. So one is, how do I increase my allocation in the winners? And how do I do shuffling?
Yes.
So I reduce or exit my existing name and I add a new name.
Yes.
So first question, how do I increase my winners? So I prefer to increase my winner on upside with every new milestone achievement in terms of business performance. So let's say in the last question, how do I screen my stock? So another thing is I love to see as many results every quarter as much possible. And based on the results, you never know, I am able to find some new company which is having value, which is showing growth in numbers, all those things. So this is a good way where I am able to find or prepare my own list of stocks after every results season. So let's say I am able to find some company in quarter one at 100 rupees. I'll elaborate it with an example so that everybody can understand better. So let's say I am able to find a company at 100 rupees at Q1, and based on my own valuation logic, I think that this is worth 200. Very simple. In my own investing approach, I try to find some target in my own mind or in my own logic. So 100 rupees, 200 is the value. There is a 100% possibility. Whenever it happens, I don't know, but I see value, I will buy. Let's say at Q2, quarter two, results comes, good results, and price is 120. And let's say based on the new results, I am able to revise my target price upwards towards 220. I will buy more. This is a winner in terms of business. This is a winner in terms of stock price. I will buy more at 120.
Superb.
Let's say at the same.
Yeah. So basically you try to, decouple yourself from price anchoring and what you analyzed before. At each new point, you basically see that, from this point, if I want to buy it fresh, will I buy it? And then you take a position.
You got it absolutely right. I don't think about Q1 now. Now for me, Q2 is the base.
Superb.
And this is where the good thing is, stock has moved from 100 to 120. There is a better performance in numbers. So it's a winner clearly in both things, which I look.
Yes.
It's a good buy more. Good to add more, one thing. But let's say results are good, but stock price is 80. Stock has moved down from 100 to 80. I will not add.
Okay. And
I will hold.
Just to add a twist over here. Okay. So sometimes the stock market itself has fallen. Like say, for example, it was a COVID fall, and just because the market has fallen 30%, and the stock has fallen 20%. So it has actually outperformed the market, but still it is fallen from your buy level. What will you do in that scenario? Just a twist question.
No. So this is a very good question, in fact, and I love to answer such questions. So in such case, for me, stock can fall in two cases. One is because of its own individual thing, or because of stock market scenario. Like what happened in March 2020, entire stock market fell. So during that time, if my stock is falling and if I have new money to invest, I will buy. In such case, because entire market is falling, obviously my stock will also fall.
Absolutely.
And it can fall more or less. That is a different thing, because in panic, anything can fall to any level.
Yeah, that will depend upon a lot many factors like float and you know, demand.
And I don't really think much about it, but I have, if I have money during such falls, I will buy my own names. But if it is falling because of its own thing, the way let me come back to my own example. In Q2, stock price has fallen from Q1 to Q2 from 100 to 80 rupees, even though business has performed better. I will still not add, even though my new target price is 220 instead of 200. Because
basically you depend on market wisdom also. Like you just don't stay that, okay, I am right, I am
so
right.
Why I depend on market wisdom in such cases is ultimately what I am, whatever I am interpreting is based on what I am seeing through my eyes. But what is happening behind the scenes? You never know. There is something management is not doing right, or there is something which is impacting them, which I don't know, because ultimately I cannot know 100% of everything.
Absolutely.
So that is where I give this kind of benefit of doubt, that I think let me buy only if stock price is also justifying my conviction.
Super.
So if stock price is going down, let me not add. So for me, in such case, this company was a winner in terms of business performance, but it was not a winner in terms of stock price. So let me not add more.
Super. One more twist question on your other point. You know, so when market is falling, and suppose you have, say, 10% of cash in your portfolio, how will you prioritize between the companies, or you will just randomly allocate equally between your portfolio companies?
So I would prefer based on the business. So business which is very, very strong, which is not going to go anywhere, I would prioritize that business to buy first. Liquid names, leaders, MNCs.
Something top which you always wanted to buy, but valuation was slightly expensive. Yeah.
So to be honest, if I tell you right now, I have very less number of companies from the Sensex or Nifty. But during such falls, if companies from this category are falling, I would love to buy them first, because leaders in panic fall can give you very good value.
Super. So still you follow your risk management by going with topmost names, and at the same time you basically find those kind of,
because they are liquid names also, and I always prefer liquid names first as a first thing.
Superb. So I think a very clear thought process in terms of your allocation. Now coming to sell decision. Now suppose your story plays out, and suddenly, you know, you find that either something else is very, very great outside. How will you take sell decision, or how will you take a decision even if you don't have any opportunity, but something has gone wrong? What do you see? Where if these parameters breach, I'll exit. Basically, what is your Lakshman Rekha in your investing?
Sure. Now, this is again a very important point, because I know many people who can enter anytime easily, but even if something is going up too much or something is falling too much, they don't really want to exit so easily. So for me, my sell decision is based on usually either of three parameters. And I don't sell only just because market is falling or just because the sky is falling. No. Based on the three parameters. So number one is when the business potential becomes uncertain. Let's say very simple example, again, in March 2020, when COVID crash happened, when COVID started coming, there was a lockdown everywhere, all those things. So I exited my hotel holdings, my real estate holding, if anything I was holding, or PVR type stock, where obviously they will be impacted. And I moved more into chemicals. I moved more into technology. I moved more into pharma. Because ultimately, this is not going, this cannot be disturbed. So this is how, when the business potential becomes uncertain, I exit. Just exit, simple. Or when the business fundamentals turn doubtful, let's say company is taking too much of debt, company is doing some unnecessary transactions, company is in all kind of wrong noises, company is trying to grow through acquisitions only, not through direct means of growth. Just because they have money, just let's keep acquiring new company. For me, this is not a good way to grow. So when business fundamentals turn doubtful, second parameter. Third parameter, or this is where most of the times I exit, when the valuations go way beyond my own calculation logics. Let's say I am buying something at 100, my value is 200 rupees. And let's say even if I look 2 years, 3 years ahead into the future, my value is 300 rupees. And stock has gone towards 300 already when my value is 200 today. So I will start reducing and gradually I may exit, because ultimately this is where I keep doing shuffling, like in one of the earlier questions you asked. So this is where, let's say at 150, I will see, can this stock double? And if I am able to find new opportunity where, if I see that, yes, this stock can double easily than my existing stock, I will just shuffle into new stock.
Superb. So basically, if I understand correctly, you are just looking at the market pendulum in both direction. When market is rational, you basically listen to market. When your good result resulted into 80 rupees of stock price, their market was rational, so you respect the market. But during the pendulum swing, like when there is extreme fear in the fall, you are actually taking that opportunity and negating that fear and being objective. And at the same time, when market is too much euphoric in some of the stocks which you understand really well, you again take advantage of that euphoria of market and that pendulum swing and move it to more rational zone, so that in future, again, that euphoria can help you make your money in your...
Ultimately, whatever I am holding, I should be able to see value within my own valuation logic.
Super. So being objective on all the three sides of the pendulum of the market, right? That is what...
Within same question, I would also say, so I would also like to suggest to every follower that never try to catch a falling knife. Because something which is really falling, you never know. There are too many things which is impacting the business, which is impacting the company. Take your time. There will be n number of opportunities. But just because it has fallen from 400 to 100 rupees or 50 rupees, it can be a good buy. Just based on this logic, it may not be worth to buy. Better to buy based on business, based on numbers, based on value.
Yeah, I have a lot of such bad experiences in my initial journey when I was not having, you know, so much of learnings from all of you. So I have made so many mistakes and coupons. I remember it fell from 1,000 rupees and I started averaging down from 200, thinking that up to 80% down aur kitna niche girega. And all the way till 20 rupees I bought and now it is, you know, delisted. But thankfully, it was low capital that point of time. And same, you know, Opto Circuits, that time Suzlon was also a high flyer.
I remember in 2000, Global Telesystem, Penta 4 products, Silverline Technologies, there were a number of names.
And then during this Dabang too, I think this Sri Ashtavinayak, a lot of these companies. And these are all lessons, and you know, thankfully we have learned it through mistakes. But you know, thankfully all the listeners, hopefully they follow the learnings from us in a visarious way and passive way, and don't burn money as we have done. Of course, it was small capital probably that time when we started, but yeah, that could also have compounded in big way So great. I think that is a very, very important point that you brought in. Now, you know, slightly moving up, away from like core technical investing stuff in terms of your life, right? So financial freedom is, again, as you keep saying, it's a vehicle, it's a medium to enjoy other things in your life and you know, enjoy your other aspects of life. So tell us, how does your typical day look like as a full-time investor? So sneak peek into Pankaj Singhal's, you know, day. How does it look like?
This is the toughest question, but very simple routine actually. And routine is so simple that it is tough to tell you what exactly I do because there are not so many things. So whenever I am at my house, most of the times reading, going through multiple websites, like specifically Bombay Stock Exchange website, mm-hmm. bseindia.com, screener.in, and individual company corporate websites. These are the normal websites where I just keep going. I try to keep doing my own experiments, keep doing my own way of finding stocks. Other than that, during result season, I am actually very, very busy. That is where I try to spend as much time to see as many results I can. So that is a very busy time, usually on a day-to-day basis, at least. So you can say 45 days every quarter. And then, yeah, I keep reading a lot. In fact, I am in the middle of writing a book. So that is where my good time goes these days.
Superb, superb.
Yeah. And depending on how things are placed, I love to go to AGMs. I love to hear to conference calls. And though we are into COVID times, but other than that, I love to travel. So at every opportunity. So, but on a day-to-day basis, reading, writing, listening, talking.
Superb. I think a lot of similarities, yeah. And even, you know, I can resonate a lot of common things in the journey. And I started my journey from IT career as such. I worked with Infosys and yeah,
wow.
I'm full-time investor. Understood. And in terms of writing, you know, what topic are you writing and when probably we can see your book coming out?
So in all probability, I am planning by within this quarter.
Super.
By March ending, hopefully. And yeah, stock market is the
subject,
is the real
close
subject
to the
area,
heart.
Close to the heart. So, but this can cover many other aspects also, which I also keep tweeting. So it can be a good mix of multiple subjects, which I hope people would love to read about.
Super.
So we'll keep you posted.
Super. Probably would love to do another podcast on your book specifically on different chapters once it is out. And I'm also, by the way, writing the book. So hopefully, you know, that also in Q2, hopefully we should be able to get out. So let's see.
Excellent. No, all the best.
We can read each other's signed copy.
Definitely. No, yeah.
Superb. So, you know, any travel tips since you also travel a lot, you know, where do you source information, where to travel, and how do you shortlist travel destination? Because also I love to travel, so that would be helpful to me also. I have some selfish interest in this question.
So one is in terms of my favorite cities, New York, London, and Sydney, because these are the busiest cities. You just come out of the hotel and you will see people rushing, walking fast towards their area of work or what for whatever. But you will see crowd, you will see good number of people, and you will see people busy in their own sense. And this gives a lot of motivation or a lot of productive thoughts in your mind that yes, this kind of travel helps me stay motivated to keep thinking productively. So even if I am traveling, whenever I am back in my hotel room, I again come back, go through the same stock market related reading, because ultimately this is what motivates me. So one is related to where things are busy, life is fast. These kind of cities I love to travel. And I don't have specific agenda in terms of seeing sightseeing, to be honest, because that level of sightseeing craze has gone now. I just travel for relaxing, for peace, for just staying as I want to. So that is one thing in terms of busy cities. But other than that, in terms of peace, I love Maldives. It's a beautiful place. Just be with the nature. And you just don't have to do really anything. Be very relaxed. Be with your laptop. Study, read, walk on the beach. Spend endless time just looking at the nature. So I love Maldives. Yeah.
Just being with yourself and enjoying the space of time, basically.
Very, very me time.
Superb, superb. And in India, some of any famous or favorite locations, I would say, if somebody is looking at Indian destinations.
So within India, I think this place is near Karnataka, near Bangalore, Munnar, Coorg. These are very beautiful. Yes. Literally, so something where nature is at its full blessed, and less of commercialization.
Yes.
So if in North India you come to hill stations, they are too much commercialized. You will not find space to walk. But in near to your place, near Bangalore, there are very good places. In
fact, yeah, it's generally 4-5 hours of travel. I just hang out, like go there 4-5 days, just chill, be with myself and come. And hopefully, you know, in the book also, I want to spend some 15 days in Madikeri, just be there and write some portion. So that is also on the radar. Let's see.
Excellent. Excellent.
Superb. So finally, you know, the message to the young breed of investors or people who are just trying to step into investing journey, even if they are 35, 45, whatever age it might be. And somebody who is also seasoned, I think a lot of, you know, areas you covered, but what is your message to the new generation of investors who are trying to compound through the capital markets in India?
Very simple. Believe in common sense investing, focus on core skill, be it your fundamental understanding of business or technical skills or a combination of both. I know you are Technofunda and you are doing so great. So everybody can have their own unique skills, unique specialties. So focus on your core skill. Do a lot of hard work. Never hesitate to do any as much work as possible. Do a lot of hard work. Believe in learning. Believe in listening. Believe in reading. Whenever you are in a crowd, whenever you are in a conference, whenever you are in a discussion, be an observer. Try to listen as much as possible. Ask questions rather than providing your own thoughts until and unless you really want to. Because only this kind of behavior or this kind of attitude can help you grow and learn well and think long term. Do not try to find shortcuts that this can give you quick money or something. Think long term. Think big. Ultimately, everything is a journey. Yes. Everything means everything. So, and one last thing is, do not look too much into the history. So don't be a historian. Be an entrepreneur. Look into the future. Be an investor. Be an entrepreneur. Look into the future. Really future. How future can shape your lives, how you are changing as time progress, how you will change, how you will want your kids to be. So accordingly, think as an investor that what can be the good business areas to focus on.
Superb, superb. And as you rightly said, you know, on your Twitter handle also, dream big and think growth. I think that.
Exactly. So exactly unless you dream big, you cannot really plan your goals.
Yes. And lastly, since you read a lot of books, and I'm sure during your book writing also you might be referring to a lot of books, some of the book recommendation on life and investing, you know, if somebody wants to think big and think growth, how they can grow in their life and investing journey.
Yeah, so in terms of book, one is Atomic Habits from James
Clear.
Yeah. Excellent book, literally an excellent book. You do read it, I would say. It's a very good book. I would suggest everybody should read about it. So that is one book. And in terms of specific investing, I think I have to recall, but your own personal experience is the best book.
Superb. Yeah, that's a great advice. I think
that's the best book. So stay put, make your hands dirty, and be in the journey rather than thinking about the destination.
Yes. And learn from the mistakes and learn from others' mistakes also. So that, that is the best book, I think.
Keep your eyes and ears open. Just keep learning and keep building your own book.
Superb. Yeah. So great. I think we are towards the end of this podcast. And by the way, to all listeners, if you are not following Pankaj Bhai, his Twitter handle is Anybody Can Fly, which is his favorite, that you need to fly and everybody can do it. That is the message I think I remember from the last podcast, that, each one of us should dream big and all of us can fly, and we should definitely fly if I remember correctly. So follow him on his Twitter handle, and then he shares a lot of amazing insights, a lot of different way of thinking about different companies and business models. And yes, if you are not following me, my Twitter handle is @MashraniVivek. And if you want to explore different stuff on investing, you can also check out my website, vivekmashrani.com. And that's it from our end. I hope it was a great conversation and you loved the entire almost 1 hour of conversation, and hopefully it added a lot of value in terms of your investing journey. So again, thank you, Pankaj Bhai, for being here and taking out your precious time. I know you are very busy in terms of a lot of analysis and your own investing journey. But you took out this time to educate the new breed of investors and existing investors. So on behalf of all the investors, my sincere gratitude to you. And thank you so much for sharing your insights.
Thank you so much, Vivek, for everything. In fact, thanks to you for bringing me here. And it's all my pleasure. I love to speak on and on about stock market. And this is a wonderful platform with you. So let's hope everybody keeps growing to the best potential as they can. So, looking forward to see you soon in Bangalore.
Yes. Thank you so much. And yeah, of course, around your book launch also, we'll probably do another podcast on what are your learnings in that book as well. But grateful for being connected on all the listeners. Thank you so much for tuning in and being till the end. Really grateful for that. And if you want to also listen to the third episode, which is around financial freedom journey of Pankaj Bhai, please feel free to listen to that. It's there on the same podcast channel itself. So again, thank you so much. Take care and God bless.